My subject today is the love of God. I mean, what a subject that is. And not even two sermons can do it justice. I mean, it's such a vast subject. The love of God and our love for God and His love for us. It's a broad word, isn't it? Love. It's a very broad word. I love my wife, and my parents have now died, but I loved my parents. And I love chocolate biscuits. But it's not the same love for all these things. You know, it's a different kind of love. Love for a wife or parents or children or chocolate biscuits. Many pop songs have been written about love. And I was very much into pop music years ago. Sort of the 1970s and 80s when I was a young boy. I was sort of really into sort of pop songs. And I've listed a few titles of songs, and they mention love. And I'll just mention a few of them. And you'll probably know some of them. All You Need Is Love. Love Me Do. She Loves You. What Is Love? Love Is a Battlefield. The Miracle of Love. Love's Great Adventure. The Things We Do for Love. Under the Moon of Love. Tainted Love. Could It Be I'm Falling in Love? Goodbye to Love. The Power of Love. I Just Called to Say I Love You. What's Love Got to Do with It? Endless Love. Silly Love Songs. I Want to Know What Love Is. So a lot of songs have been written with love in it, and you get, you know, obviously with those kind of headings of the songs, you know, different views about love. You've got the sort of the romantic end. Could It Be I'm Falling in Love? I Just Called to Say I Love You. To, well, what is love? And to the other end of the scale, love is a battlefield. So love has featured very much in songs that have been written in the past and being written now for in the pop scene. Anyway, that's the edition of Top of the Pops finished. Let's move on to the thinking of the phrase like smile, God loves you, which is a kind of a gooey sort of love, really, and it's a phrase that we have to be very careful about using. In our bookshop in Bexhill, we have these rubbers with smile, God loves you, and they're in blue, pink and yellow colours. And there's this one lady who loves these rubbers. We have to keep ordering lots of these rubbers for her. And she lives now in Hayward Heath. We have to send them to her now. But she loves these rubbers, and she's had them for a long time. She can't get enough of these rubbers, and she wants another box. There's about 50 in a box, I think, or something. And she loves these, and she has a ministry with these rubbers. She doesn't particularly like the blue ones. She prefers the pink and the yellow ones for some reason. But yeah, I mean, thinking of that phrase, smile, God loves you. Yes, if we are Christians, then God does love us. But we have to be careful about the use of that. You know, sometimes people can use it and say to somebody, just use it in a blasé sort of way, well, God loves you, with no sort of mention of sin or our accountability or the justice of God, and that's important that is featured when we think of the love of God. We realise that we're sinners, that we're accountable to God, and that God is a God of justice. He won't sort of sweep under the carpet our sins. So we have to be sort of careful with our use of that sort of phrase. But in 1 John chapter 4 that I read, it actually is a wonderful chapter of speaking of love. And it's written by the Apostle John, son of Zebedee. And although there is disputing among scholars about the writers, I tend to sort of think, well, these three epistles and the and Revelation and the Gospel were all by the one John. And when you read in John's Gospel, he refers to himself, doesn't he, on different occasions as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so there's a great theme of love with John, and very much also when we think of, if we think of the beginning of 1 John and the beginning of John 1, you know, there is sort of quite similarity. You sort of think it probably is the same human writer. 1 John begins, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life," and so on. And the beginning of John 1, "In the beginning was the Word." So there's sort of similar kind of phraseology and language used. But also in 1 John, I mean, this fourth chapter is very much about love, but you notice how it begins, 1 John 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So though there's a great emphasis on love, there's the emphasis there of testing the spirits. So it's a very serious mention of that. And that's, I think that's important, isn't it, in ministry of those who minister, that indeed that there is a good balance given in ministry. And, you know, there are many good things to say about God and his love, but there also needs to be highlighted the fact that we are sinners, hell-deserving sinners, and also that there's a lot of wickedness around. And even in the church itself, you know, we can succumb to things that aren't right. So there must be that testing of the spirits. It's nice to be loved, isn't it? I'm sure, you know, if you've fallen in love, you know, it's a lovely experience falling in love. I had a friend that I saw just before Christmas, and she had a tough year last year. She lost her job. She worked at Debenhams, and we all know what happened to Debenhams. But she also lost her mum. But she's got a new job, and she said to me, concerning this new job, and she only just got it, and she said, "I feel loved." You know, you don't normally say that of your employer, but she said, I feel loved by the company that she works with. So that's quite it's not a phrase that you normally hear describing an employer. She said, "I felt loved. I feel loved by this new employer." In 1 John chapter 3, the chapter before, the word love, or lover, if you're looking at the Authorized Version, the word love, or lover, excluding the word beloved, is mentioned 9 times. But in 1 John chapter 4, love, or lover, is mentioned 27 times. There's 21 verses in the chapter, but 27 times that love or loveth is mentioned. So it's a great theme of this chapter. And I've sort of got 9 points, and we're split it this morning and this evening. And they all begin with D, these points, concerning the love of God. And it won't just look at 1 John 4, but other references as well. But we begin in 1 John chapter 4, and the first point is divine love. And we read, don't we, in verses 7 to 10. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So God indeed is a God of love. He's a God of, well, there's many other words that we can use to describe God, but surely one of the most wonderful was that God is love. And the God who is perfect and unchanging and without sin, this is the God who loves us. So we can be sure, can't we, that the love God has for us is a sure love, because it comes from the God who is without sin and the God who is right in everything. So even when we go through rough times in life, which we do, let's remember that God is sovereign, that God is knows what he is doing, and that all things do work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So we praise God that he is a God of love. He's so great, isn't he? God is so great and powerful, and yet he has tender love for his people, isn't it? Remarkable, isn't it? You think of God, you know, he's so great, he's all powerful, he knows everything, he's everywhere present all the time. And can you imagine somebody who is like that, who wasn't full of love, I mean, you wouldn't want, you would be scared of such a person or a being who was like that. But not so with God, because of his love for his people. Secondly, we have distinguishing love. In Matthew 5:45, it says, "For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil, on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So there is with God a kind of a common goodness to all. I mentioned that verse a while ago, Wibblesfield, and then somebody sort of mentioned afterwards, what do you think about the phrase common grace? Because often perhaps that phrase common grace is used to describe that kind of verse. And I said, I don't use it myself, because you think of grace in terms of what God does for his people. But God is a good God, sort of, to everyone. You know, the sunshine that we've got today, it's not just Christians that will benefit from the warmth of the sun and the pleasantness of this weather. You know, it will be people who have no time for God or don't believe in God, but they will benefit too. And so it is in the summer when the beaches are packed with people enjoying the summer sun. You know, the majority of them have no thought for God. So there's a common goodness that God has to all. But his grace is for his people. His special love is for his people. Matthew 1:21 speaks of the coming of the Lord, that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that's why the Lord came into the world, wasn't it? To save his people. And it's a great number of people. We don't know how many, but that's known to God how many they are. But it's for us, isn't it? We don't need to worry about that. All we need to do, of course, is to just realize that we're sinners, that we can't save ourselves, and to sort of throw ourselves upon the love and mercy of God. 1 John 4:19 says about we love him because he first loved us. And if we love him, and I pray that we all do, and if we don't yet, that we will. But that we love God because he first loved us. You know, chosen before even the world was founded. The world, this great world that was created by God, even before then, it was planned and purposed. For God to send his son into the world to save his people from their sins. John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And Romans 9:15 speaks there on, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." We might sort of think, well, God's been a bit unfair. He's showing mercy and love and compassion to some. He's saving some and not others. And we might think it all sounds a bit unfair that God should do this. But when we think about it, none of us deserve the love of God. None of us deserve the mercy and grace of God. It's not a case of saying, why doesn't God save everyone? We should ask, why does he save anyone? Because nobody deserves to be saved. And this is wonderful, isn't it, to think of the love of God. Yes, God is love. But of course we must qualify it with saying that God is just. Yes, and we are sinners. We can't save ourselves. We don't deserve to be saved. But if we are saved, then it's because of what God has done for us, and that Jesus Christ came into this world to save us, and the justice of God has been satisfied. In that, as I said earlier, it's not a case of God sweeping under the carpet our sin as though, well, you know, I'll pretend that you didn't do it. No, sin has to be dealt with. And so if we are the Lord's, it's been dealt with in Christ, who suffered and died in our place. If we don't know the Lord, then we have to bear that eternally ourselves. But if we are the Lord's, then the payment has been made in full by the Lord Jesus Christ, and at such a great price. Thirdly, we have drawing love. We've got nine, I'll probably only get to about four this morning. Thirdly, we have drawing love. John 6:44 speaks of the Father drawing us. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And Psalm 110:3 speaks of being made willing in the day of his God's power. And so, isn't it, if we are the Lord's, we have been wonderfully drawn. Yes, we have realized that we are sinners. God doesn't treat us as robots. You know, we need to be made aware that we are sinners and can't save ourselves. And it's good, isn't it, to hear testimonies. I was on my phone yesterday. I was managed to be able to watch a baptismal service that was happening at Emmanuel Church in Salisbury, which was where I come from, and a young lady was being baptized, and the service was yesterday. They normally there have the immersion by baptism on the Lord's Day. It wasn't possible for that to happen today. For some reason, the service had to be yesterday. But she gave testimony to what God had done in her young life. Although she'd had a lot of problems, and yet she testified to the grace of God. And so that's the case, isn't it? You know, we are the Lord's. We should have a testimony. We should be able to give a reason why we are Christians. Somebody suddenly comes up to us and asks us, why are you a Christian? We should have an answer for them. We don't have to go away and try and work it out. You know, we should have a ready answer. because of what God has done for us. But it's wonderful, isn't it, how the Lord draws us to Himself. And I think I mentioned this point, I took the Bible, a prayer meeting at Ebenezer Hastings on Wednesday, and I think I made this point then, about I don't know of any Christian who regrets being a Christian. And we read about those who are persecuted in other countries, like you read in Barnabas and so on. And they are severely persecuted for their faith. You know, we know nothing in comparison. And yet, you know, that they carry on. You know, if their lives are spared, they carry on praising God and worshipping Him. They don't regret that they're Christians, and many Christians perhaps have had a lot of trials in life. But I don't know of any Christians at all I regret that I'm a Christian. I think it was Johnny Erickson who said that she blessed God, that she knew God, but in a wheelchair, rather than being on her feet and not knowing God. She blessed God that she was saved, even though she had the disablement that she has. And John 12:32, there it speaks of the Lord Himself. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Yes, indeed, isn't it? You know, you have perhaps the image there of Christ's arms outstretched, kind of like embracing the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And it's a wonderful drawing, isn't it? And that's how we come. It's through the work of the cross that we come to the Lord, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus Christ suffering and dying in our place for our sin. You know, there was no sin in God, no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The sin is us, is in us. And even as Christians, we're still sinners. We don't have reigning sin, but we have remaining sin as Christians, don't we? But our sins, isn't it? We are the Lord's. They've all been dealt with. Payment has been made by Christ. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding Shorty's hand and then again at mine. No, it's paid in full. You know, we sometimes we pay for something, then we get an invoice, get a receipt, get the invoice, and then get the receipt, and it says paid in full. And when it comes to our salvation, indeed, it's all paid in full at a very big price indeed. And also something else about the drawing love of God. Because we're often in danger, aren't we? Psalm 18:16 says, He sent from above and He took me, He drew me out of many waters. And there are many times that we go through many waters. And we need that sort of being drawn out of it. We need help through it. And that's it, isn't it? You know, that yes, we bless God that we're saved. and that indeed our sin has been dealt with, that we have repented, that we know peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still have to live as Christians in this world. And as I've intimated, we have trials. And many, many trials. But the Lord will help us through those as well. It's not as though we're saved, and then the Lord says, well, I've saved you, I've done the hard bit, now you get on and muddle your way through life. No. The Lord will help us through all the trials and the struggles and temptations that we have in life. So we have divine love, we have distinguishing love, and we have a drawing love. And I'll just do this one to finish this morning. The fourth one is dependable love. John 15:12-13 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And yet we read that while we were yet sinners, in Romans 5, that Christ died for us. So we're not exactly friends, but we were chosen, of course, before the foundation of the world. But, you know, that's dependable love, in that he showed his love in, Christ showed his love in dying for us. And that really is love that we can depend on. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In Jeremiah 31:3. It's a love that's dependable because it's eternal. It's not, God doesn't change. So God isn't suddenly going to kind of fall out of love with us. We perhaps have the experience, perhaps with people that, you know, they were good friends and then suddenly, you know, not so good friends. Or it might be there's something that we like eating, and now we're older, we don't like eating it. I used to love faggots when I was younger. I used to love faggots. I don't like them now at all. I don't like faggots. But I used to love them when I was a child. Growing up, I used to love them. Mum always did some faggots, and I loved them. Now I don't like them at all. So our love and our likes change. But God's love does not change. It's an everlasting love. From eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So a dependable love. And may we depend on that dependable love that our God has for us. So may we know something of the love of God. We'll continue with the other points this evening, God willing. But pray that these few remarks will be a help and blessing to us this morning. Amen.